Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Of how you haven't seen anything from Chris Paul, right, in terms of the response, what Pat Bev said about him. Usually the GOATs just stay quiet. They move like lasagna. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like silence, man. That's what the GOATs do. They don't come out when they're not number one anymore. They're number two last year and start throwing, firing off arrows like this. It was incredibly short-sighted by Nick.
Yes, it was.
And arrogant and narcissistic and all of it, Jimbo said.
Your mom can still live in a three-bedroom house with five kids, and you still got paid $1 million.
Man, you want to go out of your way to say that dude got $1 million, I see.
No, I'm not saying he did or didn't.
We know that the game has changed. We said that in the open.
I have no NIL. Problem. It's changed. I have no problem if that kid got $1 million.
Me
I have
either.
No issue with
My
it.
My problem is Nick Saban can't call that out unless you got receipts.
Yeah.
That's the way the game goes.
It is. Like, if... Look, this is a free market now.
You look like a chump.
Like, if somebody wants to give CJ right now $850,000 to come to their program, I don't care.
The man is mad. He's not number one in recruiting, and he's rolling out the excuses for it.
No, we completely agree. Yes, he is salty as hell because he has been taken from his
looks small, especially coming from a goat
by Texas A&M, right? By Texas A&M, like he wouldn't do this for Kirby because it's Georgia. Right, they beat him in the national championship game. If Georgia was number one, he wouldn't be coming out and saying this, right? It's the fact that it's Texas A&M, you know? Like, you're not supposed to be number one in recruiting. Mm-hmm. You're not, even though Texas A&M historically, especially recently in the last 15 years or so, has really come a long way in terms of the brand. Like, you're not supposed to be beating Alabama. That's how Nick Saban feels. If it was Florida, right?
Yep.
If it was Tennessee, would Nick Saban be saying these things? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think it's because it's specifically Texas A&M, and it's a former assistant of his.
But why fire Deion?
And they also lost to them last year, too.
It's one thing. It's personal with you and Jimbo, whatever. But, yeah, you lost to him. I get all that. But why fire a Deion? Again, it's just a stray bullet because you're just firing it off. And you're so mad at Jimbo for being number one, beating you out. Deion catches a stray. It's again, ridiculous. He didn't realize the hornet's nest he's stirring up.
Yeah, no, I agree. And
it's a bad look, man.
Yeah, it is. I agree.
Even
totally.
Even all of us, if we I think Texas A&M is walking the line, going over it, you want to say
right.
Fine. But again, if you don't have receipts,
right.
That's how the game is going right now.
No,
these schools are adapting to a new world.
No, I really do. I think
Saban can't be mad because Texas A&M is at the forefront of it right now.
I think
you got to get the forefront.
I really do. I think it's a little reminiscent of when Penny got into the coaching game, right? And you heard all of the sort of whispers and all the, you know, because Penny's a disruptor and he was disrupting the status quo of college basketball coaching. Here comes Penny.
Well, that's why Kay got out.
That don't give a damn, mm-hmm. right? Penny's going to do what Penny does. He's going to use his brand. He's going to do things the way he wants to do them. And Rick Barnes is going to hate that, you know, and all the old guard is all the old, you know, white former coaches who turned analysts are going to hate that. Dan Dockich, right? And to me, it's a little bit of the same thing going on here because Nick Saban's used to being the guy. He's used to always having waking up with the number one recruiting class because he's Alabama, because he has all the resources. Well, now anybody can have the number one recruiting class if we're being honest. Jackson State can get a top-rated quarterback. Texas A&M can get whoever they want because if you're willing to play the game and engage in those terms, you can make
now,
it happen.
Let me tell you, and now these historically black colleges can get a player. They threw $1 million at them. They're not supposed to get those type of players.
Bro, that's how the game's going now. So don't hate the game.
100%.
Hate the player.
100%. That's exactly what this is. Don't hate the player. Hate the game.
They're ahead of you right now.
By the way, you're a player in the game, too. You're not above the game.
He's hating the game. That's what looks so small. That's why this looks so small of him.
But you like to me, that's
usually
the piece.
He's owned it. That's what we've
right.
given him is he's adapted. He's been the guy. He changed his offense, started going out and getting these coordinators, open things up. He adapted. That's why we say, man, that's why he's the GOAT, because he adjusts, he stays at the forefront. He hasn't done it to that degree, that number one degree. Here, instead of bitching about it, he should be putting in the work to get there,
yep.
right, to get to the front of the line. They certainly have the resources to do it at Alabama.
Yep.
So just put it together and shut up.
I agree. Like, you're salty right now.
Make too much money, do all this crying.
And by the way, you've won too many championships.
Ridiculous, man.
You've won too many championships to be crying like
this. Looks like a little boy.
You're number two. You're number two in the recruiting class. I don't think your fan base is trying to get you fired. All right? It's crazy. We have an update, a very significant update.
I still want to hear from Deion. Go ahead.
In terms of game two tonight, okay. Celtics Heat. So we'll get into that. Supreme Bay will join us at 12:25. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis celebrates a legacy of sports in the Mid-South as flagship home of the Grizzlies and Tigers talk on the Odyssey app. Powered by DuckDuckGo, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, it's the Rundown, presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Well, it was interesting. We had Ryan McDonough on the show last hour, and he told us that Al Horford was, according to what he had been hearing, experiencing no symptoms. Even though he missed game one due to health and safety protocols, he had been experiencing no symptoms. Well, from Ryan's mouth to God's ears, because about 3 or 4 minutes ago, Al Horford was upgraded to questionable from doubtful.
Oh.
Now, if we were to extrapolate the way that these things typically go with the Memphis Grizzlies, that means that Al Horford would be playing tonight. Isn't that the way it went, worked with the Memphis Grizzlies?
Grizzlies usually being questionable to mean playing, but when that's not the case for every team.
When you're upgraded, I'm saying, right?
When you're upgraded, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, if he was not going to play, you would just remain, you would leave him doubtful.
Sure.
So I'm assuming now that Al Horford will play. Marcus Smart was already probable with that foot sprain.
Yeah, he's playing.
And so now they're not going to have Derek White, but they're a lot more whole than they were in game one. Mm-hmm. And look, you guys know I'm a Heat lifer. Heat culture is sort of the way, like, I'll set my house on fire is how much I love the Miami Heat. Like, I'm about it, bro. And I've been about it. And I don't think anybody listening can for 1 second dispute that.
Well, China loves the Heat too.
Go ahead. But you feel like you have read something somewhere that you just are hinting at.
I'm just saying,
at.
They own a lot of it.
What, they got some Chinese real estate or something?
What's his name? Mickey with the
Horizon.
Owner.
Arison.
Yes, it's more club pronounced that way.
Yeah.
He's got millions.
Well, why wouldn't you? If you could have some Chinese real estate, I promise you'd have some too.
You see this ESPN story about the $10 million the NBA's got over there?
Well, yeah. And
all of its owners, basically.
That's why.
Heavily invested. That's why everybody went, mum.
Yeah, dude.
When you start talking about China?
Talking about billions, trillions.
So did you realize that these playoffs, after a 3-year ban, are the first time they put NBA back on Chinese television, basically since Daryl Morey's comments?
Yep.
So they're the whole feud between China and the NBA, they've been working behind the scenes to calm it because the NBA's got so much money invested.
Oh, hell
over.
Yeah.
Hell, they own half the damn NBA.
Well, field. I mean, it's just a population question. I mean, they love the NBA in China, and there's billions and billions of people in China. So, like, you're just foolish to you know, erase them from your fan base. But this is not a segment about China. This is a segment about Big D. Al.
They own your heat culture. You bring up heat culture, I think about China.
Well,
so that's just where we're at.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think there's problem with having a diverse fan base.
Well, just better not get on their bad side anymore, huh?
Well, you've been known
that. Cut you off.
You've been known
Might
that.
Not have a heat team
that's
here pretty
right.
soon. They're going to own the whole damn thing.
You live in America, dude.
I'm just saying.
Everything you have is made in China.
It's not true.
Mostly.
I look to buy American any chance I get.
Do you really? Make an effort to say made in America and buy that?
Yes. If I can, I will. If I think it's high quality and it's the best, buy American.
You do drive a Jeep?
Yes.
So that's American made, right?
Yeah. I'm going to be real honest with you. I didn't think about it when I was buying it.
Okay. Well, that's only the biggest purchase you'll make.
But I had a Ford.
Right.
You know what it did to me?
What
did
it do?
It broke down on me. That thing broke down on me.
You got to be careful. You got to be careful.
You know what it said about Fords?
Yeah.
Found on the road dead.
Okay.
And that was me. Brad, I'm sorry. You drive a Ford. I'm not going to wish that on your tires.
Careful now. I got to hold on to that.
We're not going to wish that on your tires. But if it's got anything close to that escape engine, just watch out.
How many miles did you have on it?
150.
Okay, well then.
That's not a lot, though.
It's not supposed
to
be.
It's not a lot. It is not a lot.
For a car
like that. On these Jeeps, they say you put $300,000 on them. On my Mazda, I got $260,000.
Right.
I mean,
pardon my French here, but I kiss your ass, you get to $300,000 with that thing. And I hope you do. Yes.
No, on the Jeep, you put $300,000 on a Jeep easy. It's happening.
Okay, good luck.
Yeah.
We had a gentleman's bet.
Brad, do you see how many Jeep?
Brad will kiss your ass if he gets
the three. Please look at how many Jeep Cherokees are out here, old as hell, still on the road.
Well, they had something done, though.
Man, they had 200,000, 300,000 miles on those things. I'm telling you, it was one of the reasons why I bought it.
Bennett has a Jeep. How many miles he got?
It looks like
250.
Well, he used to listen to the show. He's probably not. He would have texted you immediately. We'll see. We'll ask him in a break.
He doesn't drive a Cherokee. He drives a Liberty. Right?
By the way, it's a great car.
Miles is a lot.
I just assume once you get to six figures that these things start. It's just tough.
I took a dump on Ford, and I should have known a shot was coming back, just like Jimbo to Jeep.
I've never owned anything other than a Ford.
Exactly. That's what it was. Can you feel it? It's like Jimbo and Nick.
I've had great luck with Ford.
I fired a shot at Ford. I got a shot back.
One of my good friends, Jeff Rauer, who I share a birthday with, is a Ford man.
Yeah.
I am all about that.
Brad was
found on road dead.
He was born on the Ford assembly line, man. You cannot go at him.
I mean, it is America.
You got to know.
I think I have Ford in my blood.
Yeah, you got to. He's actually a grandson of
Henry. So it's understandable.
Henry. You got to understand where you're the audience here. I mean, that was a very controversial take. Regardless.
No, it's fair. I know a lot of people who haven't had good luck with Fords. That's fair. I have had really good luck with Fords.
We have a bet. Brad says he will kiss your ass.
No.
If he gets to 300.
I would rather not.
No. We don't have to worry about that, though. It's not a Ford.
It's going to make it.
It's not a Ford.
Hopefully both of us are still around.
I will say it is a beautiful car. And, when you're trying to get these things on the road, you just hope they last a long time.
That's right.
It's a bottom line.
So far, so good.
I'm sorry
though, right?
I got so defensive about the Ford.
So far, so good?
No problem at all.
They kind of like a snap judge. Yep. Brag. Cool off.
Calm down, Jimbo.
We know.
Calm down, Jimbo.
You're going to live at the new Ford plant.
I know. Well, there's 5,800 jobs. They got to come from Memphis. Don't they?
I'm assuming.
By the way, on that front, 300 jobs are gone in West Memphis today because they're closing that Dollar Tree plant now permanently.
Oh, really? Because
so those
rats?
People are on their ass now.
Because the rats?
Yes, they're going to close that plant. I heard it this morning on NPR. So I'm like, man, those people got to find a job.
Well,
good luck to y'all.
Jobswiththebest.com.
There you go. There's
say.
A plug for
jobs.
One of our sponsors. You good know? Call. Yeah.
In terms of the game Thank tonight, you. Al Horford questionable. This is a must-win game, in my opinion, for the Boston Celtics, because if you go down to this Miami Heat team with the sick individuals that inhabit that roster, Jimmy Butler, P.J. Tucker, the experience of Spoelstra.
Oh, calm down.
I don't think you're coming back from 2-0. I don't. Could it go 7 still? Sure. I mean, I think you can win both games in Boston. But I think this is a prime opportunity for the Celtics. You've settled into Miami a little bit. And I think they showed in Game 1 – and again, this was somebody that was pretty much all in on the Heat in Game 1. They made that game pretty scary. They jumped out to that fast start in the first two quarters. If not for that, once-in-a-season horrible third quarter, then the Boston Celtics take Game 1. I think there was enough there. Jason Tatum is going to bounce back. Jaylen Brown can't play worse. I don't think Jaylen Brown can play worse.
I'm hearing man's going to be taking Celtics in the points.
No. Let me be clear.
Oh, you've already done it.
I am not taking the points. I am taking the money line, buddy. I got Celtics money line.
That's strong. Strong commitment.
Love that Horford addition and then those other pieces.
Look, Al Horford is a leader. He is the leader on that team. Marcus Smart coming back is going to make a difference. And again, I think the Heat win the series. I just think this is going seven. And in order for this series to go seven, Celtics are going to have to win some games. And I think tonight is the night. Coming down from 2-0 in the conference finals, very difficult to do. Don't see that happening with a one seed and an experienced team like the Miami Heat. They know the sense of urgency tonight is going to be at an all-time high. And look, the Heat have moments where they can go cold. Like, they just do. They, especially in a half court. If Boston forces them into a half court game and they don't turn the, like, what happened in the third quarter was they started throwing the ball all over the court like the Warriors, bro. And then the Heat just killed them in transition. Gabe Vincent a couple of crazy threes. That ain't happening tonight with Marcus Smart. If Kyle Lowry was playing, I might not bet the Celtics because I think Kyle Lowry is that much of a difference maker when he's healthy. I don't think Gabe Vincent is going to be able to handle Marcus Smart being on him. I think it's a must-win game tonight. I think Boston finds a way to do it. Al Horford being in is a very significant piece of that. But I'm excited about it. It's been a good series. I'm enjoying I think this one's going to be far more competitive probably based on what we saw last night than Dallas and Golden State. You can catch that game right here on 99 FM ESPN pregame at 7. Tip at 7:30.
Next story.
I have Boston tonight, by the way, too, because I have them in 6 for the series. Remember that. Yesterday, Memphis Football, this is worth talking about, added a quarterback, some depth with commitment from senior Ryan Glover. He had been at Cal last year, played in one game, appeared against Arizona. What it says to me is that Ryan Summerfield clearly felt like with a junior on the roster and Hunter Holsey, and a freshman on the roster, and Tevin Carter, who, by the way, had two freshmen, Tevin Carter, J.C. French, who didn't Tevin enroll early, too? That's the thing about, right,
in
January
yes.
last? Right. It tells me that Ryan Summerfield felt he needed a little bit more depth in that room and depth that could get out there and play. Of course, those other guys, especially those freshmen, have not seen any action. And so adding Glover tells me that you want to put a guy behind Seth Hennigan that's got a little bit more experience. He also played at Penn and Western Carolina, had been a former three-star prospect that you would, I assume, put in there to in case Hennigan goes down or in mop-up time. Like I said, Tevin Carter is a guy I've held out, you know, big hopes for at one point. Obviously got here early, but two, in practice, because you had a quote-unquote competition between Gunnell, who's now transferred to North Texas, and Seth Hennigan, didn't get a ton of reps either in terms of what he would have gotten if, say, hey, he's just sitting behind Seth Hennigan. See what I'm saying? So he doesn't get those either, but clearly Ryan Summerfield felt a need to add some depth to that quarterback room and did so, adding former Cal quarterback Ryan Glover, who's got 1 year of eligibility. Yeah, just here to play
backup. So would this mean then, do we think Grant Gunnell's going to be the starting quarterback at North Texas?
Why not? Again, I don't know how North Texas's spring went, but I'm assuming it.
Well, why would you transfer to another place? You're not going to be the starter.
If they're going after Grant Gunnell, they feel like they need an upgrade.
So then it's going to be Hennigan versus Gunnell this season, in Memphis.
Oh, if he wins the job, yeah you're right.
That's kind of fascinating.
Why wouldn't he win the job?
That's very fascinating the way that sets up. I didn't even think about that until you just started going through it.
That's true.
Look, I'm not going to throw the baby out the bathwater. I mean, Tevin Carter still is a true freshman, even though he enrolled early. And so is it a great sign? No, it's not a great sign that they felt like they had to bring in somebody else. And it probably does. It lessens the chance that Tevin will one day be the starter at just because of the pecking order, right?
Starting to see the field this year and maybe one day be the starter.
Yeah.
Because, too, Hennigan's just going to be a sophomore.
Right. Right, and that's kind of the way, you know, that's the unfortunate piece of it. It's one of those things where, you know, look, Seth could also leave. You know, that's another thing you have to consider. If he has another great year, then...
Sure, we talked about that last offseason.
Like, he will be the most in-demand guy on the market as a sophomore quarterback. If he comes back and improves upon his numbers from last year and the Tigers do anything remotely, you know, like, he is going to be in demand. That's the reality of college sports these days. But, yes, it does sort of... It decreases the likelihood that Tevin's path to starting at Memphis as a Memphis kid is imminent. It certainly decreases that chance even next year, right? And when you have another guy in that room, it makes that road a lot.
Yeah, he won't have to worry about him
a lot
next
tougher.
Year,
right. All right, we will come back. Supreme Bay is going to join us. We will talk to him about him coming back to Memphis. He's back in Memphis tomorrow as part of his foundation. Going to be feeding the youth, so we'll get into that. Talk to him about NIL, get his thoughts on that. How would it have been if, you know, he was able to get some deals back in the day-day when he was at Memphis? What he thinks about all that and more On the other side, Supreme Bay, we come back. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Jason and John guests appear via the Landmark Heating and Air phone line, live from the Topps Barbecue Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Them get on y'all, I'll play with me like game worse. Trying to gossip other blocks like y'all ain't said my name first. He a junkie, he ain't
Supreme Bay, a.k.a. CDR.
Yes, sir.
Is a Memphis legend.
Hey. CDR.
Back in town tomorrow, helping feed the youth as part of the Supreme Dream Foundation. He joins us now. Premier, what's up, man?
Man, what's up with you guys? It's been a minute. Y'all the only people I ever do interviews with. I'm not doing any more interviews unless it's on y'all's show, just so everybody knows.
Well, we appreciate the love, as
man,
always.
Thank you, brother.
So you're coming back in town to do just that, to show some love to Memphis and the community, which you have done several times in the past. And I think it would just be good for everybody listening in Memphis to know why, man, why you continue to do this even after all these years of finishing up your career at Memphis.
Well, it's just natural, honestly. Like, I come from a place that's very similar to Memphis, like Detroit. And Memphis are very similar. The culture is very similar. One is just in the Midwest. One is just in the South. And I do for Detroit the same thing I do for Memphis. I call Memphis my second home. So I know that there are families. I know that there are kids who just could use some unconditional love. Like, that's all we used to miss in the, I don't like saying the hood, but that's what people can resonate with when we describe our area. But, yeah, it's just unconditional love. But first, before I go any further, I want to shout out Chris Cathy. That's my guy, Chris Cathy, and Tim Gillespie. Those two guys spearheaded this entire event. They made it where I didn't have to be really hands-on at all. So I'm riding those guys' coattails for this event. So shout out to them.
Is that what drives you at this point, Supreme? When we're all rising out of bed, right? We're thinking about what motivates us. Is it that? Is it you mentioned those words, spreading love? Is it these philanthropic efforts? Is it family? Like, what is driving you these days?
Yeah. Michael Jackson 2.0, you know, Heal the World Foundation 2.0. I really am inspired by that. Like, I'm joking, but yeah, that is very much my inspiration. People don't know that about MJ. Like, his main objective, his main focus was his foundation, and it was called Heal the World Foundation. And I'm just really, like, you know, molding myself after the greats, you know, the people that I looked up to. And it was one thing about Mike that I felt that no one had that I've ever seen was he was like, his heart was giant. You know, he was a giver more than anything. He was a great performer, but look how much money he gave away. Like, look how many lives he affected during his time, and that's why his name still lives on today.
No doubt. So, again, CDR going to be in town tomorrow doing that and giving back to the community for sure. I know you can't talk anything in specifics. I really am excited for the day that you can about everything going on, and I know we probably will talk about the investigation and everything as it wraps up. Just personally, can you sort of tell us on a personal level what all of it has been like, you know, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, the last 8 to 10 months? Can you talk on that at all?
Absolutely. Only with you guys. I felt every emotion. I can't really speak too much on the actual case. I pled not guilty. My paperwork shows that out of all of the names on the list that I wasn't cooperating with what they said I was cooperating with, and I believe that, you know, justice will prevail, but I'm more so thankful, honestly, guys. Like, I'm thankful to be able to carry this burden or whatever this is in my life right now. It's like, I don't look at it like this is happening to me. I'm like, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for all of the stress and pain that life gives us, because I know that it's all a test to just see, like, how tough are you? Are you who you say you are? So I'm thankful for it all, but it's not been a walk in the park, you know. It's like, it's a federal case, so I had to surrender my passport. A lot of things came with that, but there's a lot of people who have been innocent that have went to prison and, you know, were still innocent. So I'm taking it a day at a time, guys. I'm thankful for, you know, it being me. Like, I don't want it to be anyone else. Like, I feel like I'm the one that the Creator chose to maneuver through these times. So it is what it is. It's no big deal. I don't want anybody to worry about me at all. I'm good.
You know, it's funny, CDR, because, you know, it's supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, right? Like, that's supposed to be the way the justice system works. But the justice system and the court of public opinion are two totally separate entities in and of themselves. So I guess for you, like, have you worried about that at all in terms of, like, what your legacy – are people going to change what they think about me because my name is linked to this? Like, has that been a thought to you at all?
Honestly, it hasn't, because I'm good with my inner scorecard. What I mean by that is I can move out in the world knowing what I know. And, you know, being in the public and being a name that people know, you have to accept that some people are going to look at you in an unfavorable way and some people are going to love you. And I'm one of those people who are going to, I'm just going to keep being me. I'm going to keep on doing what I've been doing. I'm going to keep showing my, you know, pretty face to the world and hold my head high.
Who do you lean on, Supreme? Who do you have to, because we're all as men, right? We're taught and it becomes responsibility to be providers and everything else. But I don't care how strong we are as men. I mean, we all go through things. And you just mentioned, I mean, these last months have been tough. Just, I'm curious for you. And I mean, this is more than just an interview. We know you as family. Like, who do you have to lean on through these, you know, when times are at their toughest?
These are beautiful questions. This is my first time ever talking about this, and this is beautiful. But to answer your question, I've been in solitude. Mm-hmm. I've been in Detroit, and as a man, I feel like we have to go through our stuff, and I don't want to place my burden on anyone else. Like, that's my name flashing across the news. That's Skip Bayless telling me to, you know, get a job. You know, that's me. I got to live through that. I have to watch that. I have to be the one to, like I said earlier, I have to weather this storm. So I don't want to put it on anyone else. I know I have a huge support system of people and family who would love to, you know, be in my corner at this time. But I'm just thugging it out. You know, I want to feel everything. I want to feel every emotion. So I can be the one to tell my son, like, this is what happened, this is what I felt, this is what I went through during that time.
It's just like,
I got you.
You just sound like you're at such a peace with everything. Like, you know, you mentioned it, like the inner scorecard. I've never heard that expression before, but like I feel exactly. Mm-hmm. But you sound like a man who is completely at peace with his life.
Yep. That's because I have to pay myself, you know? Like, it's real, you know? Like, those guys on that list, like, they probably need the NBA or they need something, but you guys remember 5 years ago when I did my toy drive in Memphis and I was talking about entrepreneurship and being independent and what that meant to me. So that also gives me a peace because even the feds, like, I'm still independent. I still have created my own economy. I still have created my own brands and I run my own company. So even with that black eye, or it could be a black eye on my legacy or reputation, my board members, like, you know, Chris and my other business partners know me personally and they know what's really going on and they know my character. So that gives me peace knowing that I just know the truth and the people who really love me and the people who are really in my corner also know the truth. So that gives me peace as well.
We're talking to CDR, right. Supreme Bey here on the show, going to be in Memphis tomorrow as part of the Supreme Dream Foundation, helping feed the youth. I want to get your perspective on the way that college sports has changed since you wore a Memphis uniform. Back in the day, you know, you couldn't have an NFT. You couldn't have, a restaurant deal. You couldn't have endorsements. You couldn't do any of those things. And now the game has changed to the point to where Nick Saban's taking shots at anybody around him because they're taking advantage of this game. What do you make of college sports and the opportunities that athletes at these schools now have?
It's definitely different, and I do believe it takes a little purity out of the game. When you're in college, you need to eat those pizzas, you know, like you need to starve some nights.
Interesting.
For real. Yeah. I know people say, like, the kids need, I'm not saying we should be broke, you know, we weren't broke, you know what I mean? There's always ways to get food, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like actually having a pay stub, I don't know if that's healthy for the student athlete at this time because it takes a little bit of the hunger away. I remember the times where we all had to pitch in on, you know, a box of pizza, and that built character. That made us want to make it. Like, that made us go harder. Money, no matter what people say, money makes you take your foot off the gas a little bit, especially money that's undeserved. So those guys are a couple years away from either going pro or not, but those college days are, that's the school of adversity right there. Like, we got to go through those days, but I can't hate on, I don't want to sound like that OG, like hating right. on the youngsters. I want them to get their paper, but I also want them to understand what the steps are. Like, you know, it's high school, then college, then pro.
It's interesting. It's interesting to hear you have that perspective, right? Because I think the generic former athlete would say, yeah, no, of course, all athletes should get paid. But it sounds like you think there should be more of a, like, a happy medium, I guess. Because some of, like, the Tennessee football mm-hmm. quarterback, for example, right? He signed a 4-year, $8 million deal, you know? I mean, right. like, he got that. But it sounds like you're not opposed to them getting paid. It's just like, you know, maybe a scale. Maybe there's got to be some sort of, you know, stop here, stop loss, or so to speak.
Yeah, I believe it'll be some type of structure that goes towards college athletes getting paid. Right now, it's like the boom, you know, everything, all the booms, you know, occur, and then we got to give the booms a little bit of structure, but giving them some money for their jersey sales or something like that, like, nothing's wrong with that. If I would have got paid for my jersey, it's people, oh, man, mm-hmm. it would have been a big payday. But I also don't know if I would have still been skipping school to be in the gym because I wanted to make it so bad. I wanted to, a part of making it is being financially free. So I know that I wanted to make it to become financially free. If I was getting paid in college, I don't know if I would have had the same drive.
And then,
but, you know. Times are different, guys.
I was going to add to your point, though, just about how, you know, you mentioned staying hungry and some, you know, some it keeps you hungry when you don't have it necessarily. That point, too, mm-hmm. I just imagine it's hard for, it can be hard, I'll put it that way, potentially, like for a coach or for a team. I'm just thinking, like, if you have an NIL deal, Supreme, you know, at Memphis uh-huh. for $2 million, But Dozier's getting one, and Dozier has, you know, for half the season, he starts really balling. You know, in terms of keeping it in team, when guys have got that kind of money and one's getting less, it becomes more like a professional franchise, right? I mean, then you're talking about your professional yeah. sports.
Exactly. It's no different. And college is about that camaraderie, you know?
Right.
It's about that moment where things become professional. It's like your last hurrah before things become real. I remember Coach Cal told me, during my junior year, he always used to tell me, like, I would love for you to come back next. Like, you know, you only got 20 in the first half against Tulane. Like, you know, you're not ready for the NBA. And just that, like, if I was already making money, he wouldn't have been able to motivate me in that way. Mm. He wouldn't have been able to coach me in that way. So coaching has affected the camaraderie with the
– Yep.
team, I'm sure, is affected, and, you know, but times are different now, though, so I'm glad that's not my job to have to structure that.
Yeah,
we're seeing, you know, some coaches use it sort of as a vehicle to retire. They don't want to. I mean, do you think there's any validity to that? I mean, the fact that they're using NIL as a means to say, I'm done with this sport and it's ruining this sport, is there any legitimacy there in your opinion?
Could be, but now the coach has to step up too, you know?
Right.
We have to adjust too. If the times adjust, we all have to adjust. The coaching has to adjust. Everything has to adjust. But it is tough, though. When the student is now making money, it's like, is he still a student? I don't know. Is he a pro now? Do you treat him like a pro? Because mm-hmm. you treat pros differently.
Well, money brings
a different, you know, dynamic to the relationship.
But did Cal not treat y'all like pros, right? Would you say he treated you guys like professionals? I mean, on some level, y'all were putting in professional-type work.
Definitely. Basketball-wise, definitely. We were treated like pros. We traveled charter. We always had pro scouts in the gym watching us, and definitely. But we also understood that we had to be in class. You know, we had responsibilities as students as well. I know that it looked like college athletes have a lot of leeway, which is true. We do have a lot of leeway, but student athletes can't do what we do. They can't play basketball or football or baseball, whatever sport, at the level we play. Mm-hmm. So we're operating at a level of genius as well, because we can react in 0.2 seconds. Put John out there, you know. Put John out there on that court against D Rose and see.
I got some for D Rose. I got some. We're gonna let D Rose shoot, man. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna sag off D Rose. you could have used yeah. Jason instead of me, though, Coach. I mean, you didn't have to put me out there in the Lions' den. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, easy target, man. Forgive me.
Yeah. What's your relationship like with basketball these days? Like you mentioned, you're in solitude. Are you watching the NBA playoffs? Are you watching the new wave that is the Memphis Grizzlies and Ja Morant? Like, have you been keeping up with the NBA?
Yes, I keep up to a certain extent. I don't watch any games live, though. I just watch highlights But I still love the game. The game is me at the end of the day. Like, I still love the game. I still have a passion for the game. You can't just cut that off. But it's just like that girlfriend that I don't want to touch no more. You know, it's like I got love for her, but the times we had, they were good. But I don't want to reminisce on them. I don't want to revisit them. Because a lot of good relationships also have, you know, are toxic. They have toxic times, too. So I have a relationship, a love-hate relationship with ball, but that's like any good relationship or whatever you're good at. I'm sure you guys love radio and then hate it some days. That's just how it is. But I am open now. I think Memphis would like to hear this stuff. Like, I am open now to getting my jersey retired now. I see a lot of things going on, like with the university. I've been against getting my jersey retired because I wasn't in the space of like wanting to come back and do that whole thing. But now it's like I think my kids are at an age now that they appreciate it. And I think that 14 will look good in the Raptors. What you guys think?
I think it's time, man. I think it's past.
And it's a no-brainer. Like, it's past. John's right. It's overdue. But for all you guys, though, too, Bay. I mean, like, you know, I know people have their feelings still here, too, about Cal Supreme, about, you know, the way that went. And, you know, there was a time where he's going to come back for a banquet, and people went crazy on Twitter, so the president decided, no, we're not going to do it. But let's be real. Like, you remember that? Like, we're overdue to have everybody back. And hell, I know some people hate I'm saying, but I think that includes your former head coach too over here with Cal, but all you guys. But specifically sticking to the point, yeah, you should have your jerseys up in the raft. That's overdue.
So guys, let me ask you guys, it's been a long time. What does the city feel about Coach Cal? You think that the people are still a little bitter about him leaving even today, or what's the temperature? Because, you know, like I say, that it's my second home, but I'm not really on the ground to, like, you know, check the temperature. So what would you guys say? What's the temperature of when Coach Calipari is mentioned?
I mean, there's still some real bitterness. You know, I think it's just always going to be that sour taste in Memphis's mouth about John Calipari, no matter how much time passes. Is it as passionate as it was the year he left? No, but you know, there's not some, you know, citywide adoration. I think there's a respect, right? But I also think just because of how it all happened, I don't think Memphis will ever get over it, quite honestly.
But see, this is what I said when the banquet, too, Supreme. This is what I said back then. If they make it, not just Cal, y'all, you, the group together, right? It's about the team and that experience and that year and that run. How could you deny it then? Then Cal's just a part of it rather than, oh, we're honoring Cal. No, you're honoring that run. You're honoring that team that Cal was obviously the head coach of. I've always thought that's the way to do it, CDR. Bring all y'all back.
I like that. That's interesting. I didn't know the city would still feel that way even years later, but you know what that tells me? That the love is so real, that the love was strong, because you could only feel like that over an ex that you really love, you know? So I already know, like, what that really means. Like, damn, he left us. Like, we mad about that. But I still have a really strong relationship with Cal. Good. When this news broke, we're gonna really talk. Like, we're going to really talk one day about how all of this happened and when the news broke, where I was at, like when I woke up to the news seeing it. But Coach Cal was one of the first people to call me, like, I'm with you to the world blows. So what I want to say to the city is Cal loves Memphis. Like, he loves Memphis to death. And in his history book, Memphis will have a very big part in his autobiography. When it's all said and done, watch how highly he speaks of Memphis and his time there. And I also want the city to know, like, none of us would have been there if it wasn't for him.
Right.
That's just the truth. The recruiting of him and Derek Kellogg and Barbie, that's the reason that CDR came from Detroit. I was committed to Arizona. People know that. I told you, I said that on this show.
Yep.
I was committed verbally to Arizona. until Coach Cal called me and changed my mind organically. And that allowed me to come, and then that allowed Antonio to come and Robert to come and Dorsey, DeJuan Wagner. So we should just be, you know, just thankful for the times we had, you know, let it go. Let that hurt go, as they say.
No doubt. Hey, I got to ask you.
It needs to happen.
At some point here soon, Memphis is going to have a hearing for everything that went down in the James or didn't go down in the James Wiseman case. But you're certainly no stranger to how the NCAA treats Memphis and has treated Memphis in the past. Just from where you're sitting on all this, is it just like, oh, they're at it again? Like the NCAA is coming after Memphis again just because they can? Like, do you roll your eyes at it? Like, what do you just make of the NCAA's seemingly endless beef with Memphis?
Well, I don't like the victim, you know. I don't believe, like, in victim state. So we have to be responsible for what we did overall. But there's a lot going on in the NCAA. That's all I'm going to say. Like, there's a lot going on in college basketball at different schools. So if we're going to put on our investigative hats, then let's go all around and see what we can find behind those doors, not just our school.
No doubt.
I'm Memphis to the death, man. You know what I mean? You mentioned Ja Morant. I love Ja. Like, I love Ja. I love the whole swag. I love Memphis. That's why I come back every 6 or 7 months. You know what I mean? Like, I'm always Memphis down. That's why I'm like, maybe it's time to put the 14 up.
Well, I'm sure we can find a way to make that happen.
We're going to start the process right now.
Yeah.
Today.
And we officially can say we've started it, man. Hey, yep. Again, CDR going to be in town tomorrow helping feed the youth here in Memphis as part of the Supreme Dream Foundation. Hey, man, we look forward to being able to, after all this is behind us, looking forward to really get into the details, man. And you know we always appreciate the love, man. Thank you.
Much respect, mm-hmm. brother. Much respect.
Love for life. Shout out Building Blocks Memphis, too. That's also one of my partners with the Supreme Dream Foundation. Shout out Stephon Smallwood. Shout out to the Smallwood family. I'll be in Memphis tomorrow. You know, I'm bringing Alexandria 12-12-11. That's my champagne. We drinking champagne all weekend.
All right, man. Bet. We'll see you tomorrow, brother. Appreciate it as always, brother.
Yeah.
He is CDR Supreme Bay here on the show. Wow, that was some interesting stuff. It always is, right? It's
always,
never not interesting with him. But, yeah, he's going to be in town tomorrow. Like, I think it's, you know, and I think he talked, you know, I was surprised at how open he was willing to be about, you know, the pending investigation. Of course, his name was linked to...
Yeah, I don't think some might not know the context.
The same thing that Tony Allen was in trouble for, right, with the insurance fraud and all that. CDR's name came up in that same case. So it's CDR, it's Tony Allen.
He's pleaded not guilty.
Yeah, and please, CDR not. Says he has pleaded not guilty. And, you know, that'll the wheels of justice certainly move very slowly. We know that. That will not probably be resolved anytime soon. But I want to say the trial is going to start somewhat soon. I'm not sure what the timeline is, but, you know, again, also open to being having his jersey retired, which he was previously not.
It was good. You got to do the whole team, right? I don't want to have mine individually retired.
Right.
You got to retire the
right.
whole team.
I think he was saying
I think
that.
Initially it was.
And
it
then he also said he wanted other kids to be able to wear 14. You know, he said he didn't want to just take 14 off the table forever. I remember him saying something like that.
Next season will be 15 years. 2022-23 will represent 15 years
since 07-08,
right?
Sure.
08 to 23.
Well, 14 would have been a good year to do it since it's 14. You know, the number's 14. But, yeah, 15 is...
But don't you think on the Cal thing, like, you could make a night of it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I mean, the only person who wants to do that, though, is you. I mean,
No.
You're not going to have this great reception for Cal. I get exactly where you're coming from.
I'm not looking for a great reception from Cal. I think that's the way you honor the team,
right,
and you avoid a situation where you have people saying, no Cal, like they did
right
a few years ago when there was going to be the banquet.
Yeah, no,
that's how
I agree.
You avoid that situation.
No, you kind of hide them a little
because,
bit.
Because, again, okay, Supreme Bay absolutely, as an All-American, deserves to have his number retired, no?
Yes.
Does anybody else on that team? How about Antonio Anderson, who's played the most games ever, wasn't it, in terms of a Tiger? And so what are you going to you're gonna do it night after night after night? No.
You do it all together.
You do it all together, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, look,
it would be a beautiful thing. I mean,
I have no problem.
I can do is bring y'all these ideas, these great ideas. Y'all want to shoot them down? You go right ahead.
Look, I'll be honest, especially since we see how sort of, you know, off the reservation the program has been since those days, I'm open to retiring the jersey of every starter on that team, right? That 07-08 team. I'm open to that. You know, Dozier, Dorsey, Antonio Anderson, Derrick Rose, and CDR. I'm open to just making
it's a team thing where you've got the numbers of all of them. Now, I don't know if that,
right,
you know, appeases CDR, who you would want individually
CDR
up there.
I think CDR wants his 14. Yeah,
you want an individually
right
up there?
Right.
Is anybody
on the Tigers roster wear 14?
I don't remember the last 14 that made a difference other than the All-American that was Chris Douglas Roberts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we have to figure that out, but I don't think it'd be a huge issue.
Nobody's clamoring for 14.
Tyler Harris wore 14 last year.
Did he?
Huh?
I guess he changed numbers, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Well, he's gone, so that number's open.
I would tell you, maybe, what have they got, 7 retired? 6? Because that's always a concern, too. Like, the Bears can't retire any more numbers because we got so many damn numbers retired, there won't be any to wear. I know that becomes an issue, too. We start talking about retiring the whole team. John wants to retire the whole rotation.
Yeah.
He's gone past starters.
I'm open
now
to that.
You start worrying about, are you going to have enough numbers left? So that's always got to be considered, too. But I just... there has to be a way now to honor that team, whether it's individually with guys getting their numbers retired or as a team in a thing that I think should, you know, a ceremony that should include Cal as well. That team doesn't come together if Cal's not
here.
That's
exactly right.
And it's also a way to put all this mess to bed.
It can't not include, it can't not include Cal, period. You know, that's just it's ridiculous because he assembled the team. You know, it wasn't like R.C. Johnson recruited the damn team. It was John Calipari.
It should have already happened. That was a decision where we allowed Twitter, the president allowed Twitter to make the decision for him.
Well, it should have been.
Like you said, you should have been in Rudd's ear telling him that's an echo chamber. Don't worry. Because the bigger boosters,
well,
they were fine with it. They were going to pay the place.
But I think they were going to pay the money. I still think it could, yes.
Little Twitter backlash, he jumped out.
I agree with you, yes, but I also think there was a better way to do it. Right.
Let your athletic department handle it rather than trying to make the announcement from the president's office.
Well, I would have done it
because
they know
what happens with these things.
I would have done it with the team. I would have done it along. I would have made it an honoring of 07-08.
Well, I told you about that. That's how you could have done it then, and it's how you can still do it now.
Yes.
Rather than making it a night or a weekend about Cal, make it about that team and that run.
Yeah. But always love from Supreme Bay, and always do appreciate his time. We'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Got NBA games to recap from last night. The Warriors put on a very impressive performance. So
Steph was dancing.
We'll get into that a little bit later. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.